He's talking about the old buff, I think.
Yeah, I'm talking about the old Primeval Bellow.
Oh.
And how it's a good thing that we're getting this new non-attack action to replace it. Because Primeval Bellow is an extremely good buff if it lines up right. 9 times out of 10, though, it has a nasty habit of taking the card you want to play.
9 times out of 10? That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
You played a lot of Rhino.
Look, man, I'm just doing some statistical analysis for how these cards get played.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 23 of Big Deck Energy. I'm one of your hosts, Tyler Barrett, joined today with Josh Lucian, Ben Clifford, and Bailey Hilton. Today, we're going to go over our Weeks in Fab, of course, our Armory update. We got some new spoilers this week, so that'll be some fun talking points. And then, with that spoiler, we have all six heroes.
Yes.
Now revealed for heavy hitters. So we're going to maybe go through and talk about the most heavy-hitting of heavy hitters. So why don't we start it off? Cliff, we like to start with you sometimes for our weeks in Fab. Did you get to play in the Armory this week?
No, I don't really have anything to report for my week in Fab, unfortunately. Just a little bit more theorying and deck testing. On that note, though, I did get all my cold foil hyperdrivers in, so I'll be CCing Max when I get a chance.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, but, heck yeah.
Other than that, I really don't have a whole lot to go on. Although, when is my box of goodies getting up here, Ty?
Well, so Bailey was supposed to be in studio today, and I was supposed to give it to Bailey, and actually your new mic. For the listeners, we will be getting Cliff a new mic.
Yep.
You can just leave him with Josh.
Yeah, if you want to just swoop by before you head up there, Bailey, I can... well, you'd actually have to like stop by my house, or we'd have to meet up later because I didn't bring the cards here. Actually, that was my fuck up.
Oh,
so.
But yeah, other than that, I really don't have much.
I know where you live.
other than being a shiny goblin and calling me about all my shit.
He does like his cold foil.
I'm kidding.
Other than that,
yeah, I'm kidding. Cliff sends me a text and he goes, "All right, I give up on the cold foil daggers. How about the promo regicide?" I'm like, "You bastard!
It's a good looking card.
It is. I will say it's one of the best ones."
Oh, I suppose I will go into that a bit. So, I was never very big on regicide. The specialization has historically not been very usable or viable. But with heavy hitters coming out, we're seeing a lot more stuff centered around gold tokens. I predict that more people are going to be running the crown to make their hero royal. So I predict that there will be a spot in sideboards for regicide.
Mm-hmm. The only problem I see with... Go ahead, Bailey. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just commenting on Ben's speculation about... Crown of Dominion being used a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. No, I think he's pretty spot on with that.
I think so too. It's just tough because pre sideboard. I feel like some people just won't do it. I mean, Dromai.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was gonna say. It's hard to pick to like put the regicide in unless you know exactly what your opponent's on before they reveal their headpiece, right?
Yeah, and anytime you're playing an Arachne, I feel like you almost have to expect that card somewhere, and you just have to be ready for it to be blocked, but. I mean, Carter's done it. He's gotten the kill on Tucker with Dromai, so can happen.
Did he?
He won off a regicide 2 weekends ago, or last weekend, whenever that was.
Yep.
Oh, no way. I don't know how dude, I missed that.
Pretty wild. I mean, his banish zone was pretty stacked full from his burn the mauls as well, so regicide basically locked his whole hand from blocking. Yeah, dude, it was pretty wild, and he had no armor block at that point, of course. But yeah, Bailey, how about you go next? But we all three got to make it to our armory, so that was good. Always love it when we can all make it. We played CC this weekend.
It was fantastic. I lived up to my namesake this weekend.
Bailey went the opposite of the fluke.
Solid O2 drop. I told you last weekend was a fluke, Josh. I told you.
Well, I was hoping the fluke was the O2, but...
No, no, dude. I just suck.
I just suck.
No, most of it was just down to me having to go to work, like, right after that. But I played round one and two. I can't remember who I played round one.
You were on Vincent, correct?
I was on Vincent, yes.
Did you play Sean round one?
Oh, I played Sean round one, duh. No, we actually had a really good game of Vincent and Riptide, and...
That seems very interesting.
We were down to 1-1 at the end, mm-hmm. and he ended up getting the trap kill on me.
Yeah, as Riptide does.
Which, yeah, it's, I mean, I should have seen it coming. I missed a pretty key trigger on one of my Deathly Whales, and I think it was Deathly Whale. Whichever one gains you life, but I think if I would have gone up to 3 there instead of 1, I might have had that one. But either way, it was a close game. It was a good game. And Riptide came out victorious.
Yeah, he did pretty good with Riptide. I think he went 2-1 or 3-1 or something.
Like, well, kicked my ass. Sean has that deck figured out, man. He's good on Riptide.
Well, he came up to me, actually. It's funny, because he must have listened last week. He came up to me in the shop, and he's like, what do you mean I never ask you for help? I'm like, you don't. You never ask me for help anymore. You used to when we first started out, but he's like, all right, fine. Help me with this deck. So he puts Riptide down. I start looking at all the cards that are needing to be cut. He's got, like, Blue Ravenous in there and shit. Josh's face, I know.
What, Sean?
hey, no, Blue Ravenous is a good card. You should probably put it back in, Sean.
but no, yeah, he made some upgrades before the tournament, too, to the deck. There's only, I mean, he had it pretty fleshed out, but there's some questionable clues he had.
Fleshed out.
Trap numbers and stuff.
Help them out with the dead eyes.
Riptide seems like it's actually going to be, like, a pretty decent, like, if you're looking to play the long game, play the blocking game, play kind of that fatigue style, he seems like one of the better decks right now to be doing that kind of play style, I think.
I agree. I mean...
Mark, conversation. Now, I want an apology from all three of you for when I said that episodes back, you all were like, no, you're crazy.
You were trying to go aggro Riptide.
To be fair, I'm talking more of like... If you're looking for a distinct play style, maybe he's kind of sometimes probably a choice, is what I said. Okay, I'm not saying he's, you know.
He's not the aggro answer. A fatigue game plan with him?
No, he's definitely not aggro. He's just kind of a fun aggro deck to do. But there's definitely something with Riptide.
Cliff is on to something with this one. I have a feeling we'll be seeing a lot of aggro Riptides coming into RTN season and... Potentially even for Worlds or Nats.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Tommy Fresh from Fresh and Buds is on that deck. Yeah.
He, a lot of people. He
recently did some, like,
Max.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a Battle Hardened or something that he placed pretty highly in, or I forget. But he kind of put that deck, like, back on the map, you know?
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
But did you play Guardian after that or something, Bailey? Is that what I saw?
Yeah.
Lots of pummels in that deck.
It was.
Yeah, and Rick plays lots of pummels. Good on you, Rick.
I read every single one of them and still didn't play around any of them. I forgot. I'm not going to lie. I forgot how much I had to block the first time one hit. And... I let 2 sneak through because I didn't overblock enough. And then was like, oh, well, I won't let that happen again. And then I let it happen again.
It's still one of like the most tried and true cards, I feel like, man. Pummel is just incredible.
It is.
And, like, even when you are playing around it, there's really not a good... I mean, there's a better answer to play. Like, if you need to play around it, you obviously don't want to discard, so you overblock, right?
Yep.
But that's still, like, the lesser of two evils, like, in your decision tree. Yeah, you know?
It is.
It's not good for you.
No. And...
No.
I mean, just playing around a pummel is... good. Playing around a pummel is always just, like... If you have a gas hand, you don't want to block, but then you have to try to figure out what to play with and what you're discarding.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it really worth just dumping your whole hand that turn?
Yeah, that's kind of the two decisions you need to make. A lot of times, like, it's right to just discard a card. You know, you take it all, and then at that point, you're kind of racing. But
wow.
Unless your hand
different story for some heroes, I will say. Very different.
I saw you get pummeled a couple times this week, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you just go in?
I was right on the same boat as Bailey, getting smacked around that spiky club at the end of attack. So my first matchup was into Rick on Bravo, on Kano. Very close game. He got me down to one, and then he was at like 24, and I just went off and was able to get there. Had an Aether Wildfire go off because he just tried dumping too much damage.
I do want to say I felt kind of bad afterwards because Rick made the comment, and he was saying it in good fun, but he goes, God, it felt like it was kind of 4-1 there because we're all huddled around, like, you're not really helping you, but we're like, we were commentating on the match, you know what I mean?
It was all good. I mean, I was sitting there, and everybody loves watching when Kano tries to go off. Mm-hmm. So as soon as those Storm Striders get busted, everyone's... head straight over the top. What's going on? What's going on?
Your three energy potions are definitely what made that happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Your hand was a little resource
light. You had all three out?
Yeah, I had all three out. Well, I mean, it was close towards the end of the game, to be honest. I probably blocked with 3/4 of my deck to get the pitch stack right, and I even missed the pitch stack once, like, with my Blazing, but I was able to get, like, 6 cards off the top with an Aether Wildfire in Arsenal, so... managed to squeak out that win, and that was my only win. So I went 1-3, but second match was into this guy named Tyler Barrett on Teklovassen. And let me tell you, for the first 3 turns, the only cards in his discard, everyone, Sigils of Solace.
I think for most of the game, it was the only card in the discard. Yeah,
I know. Not until the end, after I tried to go off and... Ty lucked out with the old Oasis on the Aether Wildfire.
Yeah. Yep.
So no damage was
without dead. Oasis, I'm dead there for sure.
I mean, yeah.
And without my Rusted Relic, yes, probably. Having AB4.
That was nice.
Was wild.
Off the rip, turn 1, stare me down, Rusted Relic. I'm like, son of a gun. But no, I think that game plan that we talked about with just Visortronic using the Achilles Accelerators.
Is it the first time that I actually applied it? The problem is, and I'll go into this a little bit when I go through my week, but it takes a lot of sideboard slots if you're trying to shore up the Kano matchup. And you can still just die. There are so many times where I passed priority to you with 2 cards in hand, wanting to just fucking Arsenal one, and they were both reds. Like, and if you choose to, you don't know as a Kano.
No. But,
it's, you can catch Teklo with some red hands for sure.
Yeah.
But,
I was seeing you just pass priority. I'm like,
you almost have to treat them both.
And the worst part about it was like 3 reds in my hand, or like 2 reds, yellow, and I'm like, fuck. And then I will say, the one match that I played into Rick, and he dumped a Pulverize and had to dump his whole hand. I was so excited. I'm like, yes. Oasis Respite.
You Kano'd into... that's when I came over and started watching. Activated Kano, and he puts... he reveals Oasis Respite.
I don't know why I put Oasis in my deck at that time. It would be okay for the matchup. I think you're
probably thinking about the Dominator. Whatever.
Yeah.
Just maybe in case that's what you're thinking. Die. You just... when you add crap like that to Kano, that's when it really shows you that...
See, it's
cards that are not like damage spells or wizard cards should just not be in the deck.
If you get it early and you're able to throw it in Arsenal, because then you can just sit on it Arsenal with if you get a full red card hand, you can block out and pay 1 just to help your pitch deck with something that you really want in your hand. But I took those out automatically right away.
Well, now you know. Sometimes that's what it takes, though.
Yeah.
It'll happen one time where you're ready to kill him. You have the kill there. He's got no hand, like you said.
Yep.
So he's no AB.
Nothing.
Like, and like you, I think you had the Aether in Arsenal. I saw. So like, if that's any sort of, you know, imagine if it's a Tome or you have Tome of Findle in the deck.
I do sometimes.
And you should run, I think, three of them because you're able to Kano. That's another Tome of Aether Wind.
It is.
Both that and the Tome of Aether Wind. That's six copies of draw two. Because when you play it at instant speed.
And that's technically why I run the Brainstorm. You run a one-up Brainstorm. And if you can get the Brainstorm off after a double Tome of Fendall turn or even like
some crazy
Tome of Aether Wind turn or something, it's okay. Let's say you draw like six cards, that's six damage.
I would put Tome back in for sure. That card is gas in Kano.
Not really.
I was not seeing one, or I remember not really seeing one. I was going to ask you that yesterday, but yeah, I'm pretty sure you just Kano that card off the top and still get to play it at instant speed. Doesn't have to be a wizard action, right?
Nope.
Yeah,
does not. That's the beautiful thing is like when you top a Epoch, you're just like, yeah,
it's the best. Yeah, it's so good.
Set up.
I know.
Set up.
But third matchup was into. Oh, I lost that Tekalov Basin terribly. I mean,
well, you conceded.
Yeah,
it got to the point where we were in our second cycle and you had Storm Striders, and in that turn, I Oasis.
Yep.
So then you were kind of done with the instant speed kill me thing. And then, like, I think most of your main pieces were just gone.
Yeah.
In your deck.
I was just chip damaging, and I'm like, yeah.
Mostly
put the fist across the table. But let me tell you, pretty much the same thing in my third matchup with Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Went off, got him down to, like, 15 because he was able to block it out. And then I missed like my top card and I didn't have enough resource because I used my tunic resource too early and I was on two counters, not three.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, really needed that third counter. But other than that, I just pretty much, he fatigued me down to the point where I had 10 life left and I only had like seven cards left in deck.
Damn, dude. I'm good, like, job, Sean. That's...
Yep. Fist bump.
Did he have AB3?
Yeah, two, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just wasn't able to get there. So deck wasn't lining up there. I don't think I just pitched deck right. It was just woof. My brain was shutting off at that moment. My fourth matchup was into Katsu, Dylan, and I managed to get him down somewhat on some life. But Katsu's just so aggro, and especially with Dylan playing Katsu, I have no wiggle room. I can't make mistakes.
Yeah.
So I have to just block out correctly, make sure he can't get his... his dishonor off, because if you dishonor Kano,
probably the best hero to dishonor.
You are done. You're just game over. You can't do anything. Sean's like, no, you can just chip damage. I was like, one attack at a time? No. I'm just going to throw a fist across the table.
And it's all like main phase.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's just wasn't even worth it. So I got him down to like, I think it was like 19 or like 20 right there. And then he got me down and I just was like, yeah, fuck it. Fist bump, buddy.
Yeah.
And we figured out that I could have potentially had a turn, but I only had like one E-pod out, and that's not enough into Katsu. You need all of them. So, yeah, 1-3 matchups were fun, had good times, but threw a fist across the table for most of them. It ended up getting most of my power cards and just nothing there. So, still had fun, though. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But how about you, Ty?
I brought Teklo this week. I still have not gotten over the 500 threshold and sitting at 2-2 when I play him. I went 2-2 this week. Round one, I played Azalea. I feel like I have that matchup pretty figured out. Your armor block can really just get around the dominate. A lot of times you're just not taking damage. And their on hits are kind of irrelevant to Teklo a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Redden Ledger doesn't mean anything because you just are doing one thing per turn. Pretty much every time.
Yep.
Anyways, Remorseless is like whatever, you lose a life, okay? You know, play your Evo. So I feel like if the Azalea, if there's like a large Azalea field in the RTN season, I feel like Teklo might actually be a good choice. It's the other matchups that I have to figure out. I played you second round. So I beat Azalea round one. Didn't even need to transform, by the way, which was cool. All my tanks were turned on towards the end, and I pitch stacked all of them pretty well where I wasn't using them at the beginning of the game, waiting for that four Evos to hit that nine overpower. And at that point, they're all, like, the on hits where I'm destroying Azalea's arsenal, making her discard a card. They're all, you know, pretty good.
Yep.
And at that point, it's just block your arrow pretty much fully, and then 9 overpower. Block your arrow fully, 9 overpower, because that's kind of the way the deck works after you get the 4 evos out there. And but played Kano, played you second round. First time that we actually tried, I tried the plan that Josh and I kind of came up with the AB. You start with AB3, you put the Viziertronic in there for the headpiece, and the Achilles Accelerator for the boots, and I also have 3 Rusted Relics in my sideboard.
Yeah.
I'm going to explain this card a little bit. I know it's kind of weird. First of all, it's a blue, so I can bring it in against Kano while I'm cutting cards like Singularity, which I can't play. And then even like my red Evo heads, they just become unplayable in my boots as well.
Yep.
The blue boots and the blue head are fine because they're blues.
Yeah.
But so I get to bring it in against Kano. Also can play them against Kano, which is good, but the real reason they're in there is for like the Rune Blades. I know Bailey plays Vincent, so I don't want to like get rid of my Evo plan against like a Vincent or a deck that maybe deals some arcane, like a you said Prism. I should have brought them in against Prism for sure.
100%.
Dromai, even with Burn Them All, it can be relevant as Vali.
Yep.
Like the card can, when you like are when a fatigue deck and you need some AB and it's just a free blue, it doesn't block, obviously. It sucks,
but
I do have it in the sideboard for some different matchups. And in this case, I got up to only AB4 against you. I ended up pitching the other two when I needed to. But I didn't think AB5 or 6 was really necessary.
No.
And it ended up not being necessary. And yeah, after we got to like second cycle and you kind of blew your load, it was like my deck. Well, no, you just used, I mean, I looked at your graveyard. It was just like all red.
Yeah,
fucking, you played a couple Blazings. You're... lessons were like all gone, I think.
Yep.
I think you had maybe one lesson in the deck. But
I think I had one lesson. Both my Aether Wildfires were gone.
Yep. You should run 3 probably.
I don't have a third.
I just don't own one.
Nope.
Fuck.
I need to go get one. Yeah. I mean, they're like $1, $2 bucks right now. Yeah. They're cheap, so should just pick one up.
But yeah, after that we got that one. I think I ended that game with like 30 something life, right? Or 20 something.
I think you were at like 28. I just barely chipped you down, and I was just like, fuck it, I'm nowhere near.
And we had been playing for like almost the whole time. Like it was a long game.
It was just a lot of past priority.
Past priority.
It was a lot of, wait, whose turn are we actually on?
No, I know that was that a little bit.
I mean, it wasn't a lot, but
so I was actually feeling good at that point, you know, 2-0 start the day. I was like, here we go, I'm gonna break that threshold of going even. And I played Dylan in the finals. We always play a fourth at our shop, but it's we usually pay out to after 3 rounds. And you know, if there's a clear winner after 3 rounds, that person will win it. So it was technically the finals, me and Dylan. We haven't been in the finals in a while, him and I. It's just nice to see him come back after such a long break. And, you know, he finally put together like the traditional aggro Katsu without the kitty combo in there. And, well, I mean... What's that?
How was that doing for him?
I mean, he went 4-0.
He did.
So, and I was trying to kind of tell him, like without, you know, it's hard to tell people about deck choices when they love a deck. You know, he loves Katsu, he loves his kitty cat combo and stuff. But, it, you know, he had said he wanted to treat RTN season a little bit more serious and really try to qualify this time. And if he's trying to qualify and he's going to play Katsu, I just wanted him to try just that traditional, go back to your roots, play these freaking crazy lines.
Yep.
These, and he's able to still, like, have efficient blocking turns most times if he wants to.
Dude, the Dishonor combo with like the Gust Waves and the even still the Lord of Wind combo, it's so much easier to get off, to be honest, and it's so much more viable. And I built the deck too, and after watching Dylan play it, it almost like incentivized me to like re-go through my deck and make sure I have everything right. But I almost think Dylan's running the same list I am, that I have for mine. And I think Katsu is probably just a really good viable plan for RTN season even.
Yeah, our game was pretty close. It felt like I was ahead for sure. I got all 4 Evos down. And then I really didn't have I played 2 tanks back-to-back, both hit. They had some disruption, and I don't think he blocked either one. So, I mean, I was really, like, far ahead. And then just, like, for 4 or 5 turns straight, I didn't draw a single tank. So, and at that point, like, I probably... kind of like game one with Azalea, I probably don't even need to transform into Teclo or Meklo or whatever the fuck his name is.
Nope.
and just like tank my opponent down, because that those 9 overpower every turn is, that's real.
Yeah. I mean, it's just nice to, if you save that singularity towards the end, that's just an extra 6 life for you, which is, I think, a way better game plan than doing
it's something
it
like 20 life.
Yeah,
well, yeah, you're right, then blocks for five, then four, then three, then
21,
two.
Technically, yeah. I think. But you're right. But I think if you save that game plan towards the end of your game, that's
Yeah, you can't do it too early because then you're left with like no ammo because you have to banish 2 cards from underneath him when you attack.
Yep.
So if you haven't played multiple evils over the game, you are left with like 4 attacks or something if you like happen to transform him right off the bat.
Yeah. Is it nice with Fabricate being able to just throw it
under?
I do want
to mention, there's something I learned with Fabricate this week, actually. A lot of times when your Evo Steel Souls are on 2 counters, you can't really block with them that last 1 defense because they have temper. Mm-hmm. So if you were to block with them when they're sitting on 2 counters, combat chain closes, it sees that they're at 0 defense, they get destroyed. And I don't have any of the other prototypes in the sideboard to bring other bases back.
Yep.
So if one of my pieces get destroyed, that's it. So you kind of can't block with them if they have 2. But if you play a Fabricate and you pump their defense to +1, they all have 4 defense now. And that's until end of turn. So if you play Fabricate, you got a bunch of 2 counters on your blue Evos. You block with them for that 2 now. Mm-hmm. They'll have an extra 2 defense. Combat chain closes. It still sees it's at 4. So it'll get the counter, have 3 counters, see it's at 4. It's not technically at 0. And then the temper doesn't trigger. And then at the end of the turn, you lose that 4th defense. But then at that point, nothing has
changed.
Yeah, you get to keep the Steel Souls.
Ah.
So Fabricate is actually so valuable. That card has a ton of value on it. And I was actually quite silly to not play it at first, to be honest with you.
It's a really good
Well, after I like learned that,
you were like,
and like realized it, no I was brainer. Like, well, this is just like a block 6 sometimes.
Yep.
And then also like kind of like you draw a card, but also get a card into your hand for next turn. So you're like kind of drawing 2 cards. I mean, you're netting 0 because you are discarding or you're banishing and drawing. So you like don't actually draw a card that turn, but you're like setting up your next turn with an extra card in it. So yeah, Fabricate is wild. That card is like so good. I've been super impressed with it as of late.
It's nice that it's instant too, so you can do it whenever, however, and even just giving other stuff ammo, as in you know your Mechlovasin.
Yeah, like there are times where like you won't be able to banish an Evo with it or something where you just don't have one in hand or something, and even then you can kind of still like use it to pump your Evos and put it under an Evo or something to gas up Mechla later, which is fine. It can kind of act like a 0 for 4. Like a lot of, you know, I run 3 sinks, 3 fates. Fabricate sometimes is the math just ends up being like a sink below kind of.
Yep.
But yeah, in that game, so just going back to congrats to Dylan for sure for winning. Yep. It's been a while since he won an Armory and he's back at it with his old tricks. So
yes,
that's good to see.
The old Katsu tricks. Yeah.
After that, I played Zach. He's on Prism, and he played the Iris Aura Plan. And man, that seems like a miserable matchup for me. I spent like the first half of the game trying to catch up and kill auras, and I finally like killed his auras. And then he started to like arcane me down with this angel, and then Mercifuls.
The Ravages, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And didn't have Rusted Relics. Not thinking about Arcane in that one. Merciful, though, like, I mean, you get a couple pings off of Merciful, so I don't know if I would bring a Rusted Relic in. If I would have brought it in against him, I think it would have helped for sure, because he did a lot of Arcane damage to me that game. But that seems like a very back-against-the-wall matchup for Teclo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping we don't see a lot of Prisms in our TN season, because I'm kind of leaning, if a lot of people are on Azalea, I don't really necessarily enjoy that mirror match. And if I have a good Azalea plan with Teclo, I feel like I might just fucking bring Teclo for our TN season.
You got to remember, there is the new Luminaris coming out, so Prism could come out of the wet work.
Well, but if you're playing that card, you're not doing the Aura plan. And if it's an aggressive Prism, I think I actually beat that deck because I have a ton of poppers with Remembrance to bring the poppers back.
I mean, they still, I mean, you could still run.
You can't do the Aura plan because you need Iris. You need the, because what Zach was doing was like he'd have just a grip of blues and he'd have a ton of auras, spectrals, whatever, and he'd go four go again.
Yeah.
So like all of his auras are actually taking cards from my deck instead of like actual cards being destroyed or traded for.
You're right.
So I mean, he had a fucking half of a deck when I had like no cards in my deck at the end of that game, because of the way his attacks are working with, you know, being able to attack with something on board.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, went 2-2, lost that game. Sad day because I was feeling good. Teclo, I've been having so much fun with Teclo. Realizing I can play the Young Professor too now in Blitz is gonna be, that'll be insane. Might try that out next weekend.
Yes, it's supposed to be Blitz.
Yeah, we are playing Blitz next weekend. Yep, for our Armory.
That's right. It's unfortunate, but I won't. Be there for that one.
Yeah, I know everyone kind of loves Blitz at our shop.
It's just a nice break from
100%. You just also get to like play crazy shit and see weird shit, and no one's bringing like crazy good CC tried and true, you know, meta decks, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just Blitz is,
you got crackheads out there running Moon's Wish, Sun's Kiss. I mean, it's a lawless land out there.
We do have those crackheads out there. We do.
Yeah.
All right,
dude,
boys.
I love all of the like wacky stuff that Nathan's been bringing lately. It feels like that Ben just never left.
Yeah. I still can't believe he won on Data Doll.
Two peas in a pod, man.
I mean, yeah, they are.
That's because Nathan's just him. He's him. He's Himothy.
Oh, look at him now, boasting him up, not calling him a scrub.
Oh yeah!
Yeah, after he, you guys see?
I have no idea if I actually called him a scrub or not.
Did you guys see Ben?
I'm sorry, but once again, I'm also gonna call you a scrub again. So take it how you will.
Did you ever get that deck list from him, there, Cliff?
Oh yeah, we talked about it for a little bit.
Okay.
He's a. I like the way his deck list is set up. It's definitely very similar to what I would run for like. This is what Datadoll should be doing. Mm-hmm. I just like big numbers for my Datadoll deck, so I'm running like all the Hadrons and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely going to be a lot more consistent and much more able to handle like the different matchups you get in Blitz, whereas mine just has one game plan, and that's play every card I possibly can play.
Yeah, right.
Well, you're just a crackhead and want to see as many items out as you can.
Hey, that's just Datadoll's thing, man. I like seeing all the dice out.
Yeah, you really kind of look like a weird draw my deck at the end of that game sometimes, where you just have a board state of shit.
Thank like God items can't deck. Attack, man. Cliff's board, if it's filled with items, it's scary. Seeing dice everywhere.
No, I still think the best feels good was revealing off of a Teclocora red Hadron and a red boom grenade, and I just go, oh, and Wesley goes, oh.
Okay, well, do you guys want to get into the spoilers? We got kind of some juicy stuff here. We got
interesting things.
All right, well, I will just get into the hero here.
Let Bailey rip it.
Or yeah, Bailey, go ahead, you're our guardian player.
This is Bailey's guy.
Yeah. Hold on one second. I'm not going to lie. I've been cooking breakfast at the same time.
Good. Couple eggs. Some bacon.
Dishing up myself a bowl of pork fried rice.
It's an interesting nice breakfast.
In there.
Extra soy sauce?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I haven't really done it with, like, pork before, but we'll see how it is. Anyways, yeah, so our new guardian hero is Victor Goldmane, High and Mighty. And High and Mighty indeed. He seems like he's going to be very interesting. I think he'll be good. So, the first time each turn you create a gold token from an effect you control, draw a card. Those are my favorite three words to see on any sort of card, especially heroes. And the first time each turn, you would fail to win a clash. Instead, you may destroy a gold you control. If you do, put one of the revealed cards on the bottom of its owner's deck, then clash again.
What's your initial thoughts on the card, Bailey? I'll let you go first.
I just think he's going to fill that void slightly that old him left, where we have just like a true defensive guardian. I don't think he's going to be the sort of like aggro guardian that we're seeing with like Valda and to an extent Betsy. And I mean, Bravo isn't like that true defensive guardian either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he still has his turns where he's wanting to just swing in and push all of this damage through. But we also get a little bit of a mill aspect with Victor.
Right.
Which will be interesting.
Yeah, his hammer release is actually called Miller's Grindstone.
And that's one of the best flavor text weapons I've ever seen either, too. Not flavor text, my bad. Oh. Just main text.
They're before always good with the puns.
Before we get into reading the hammer, did anyone else notice how the hammer is kind of styled like the rampart of the ram's head?
Yep, I caught that. Because it's got that golden face on the side of the hammer.
It does. Yep. Mm-hmm. Are they meant to be? Or is that his shield, Rampart?
I don't think so.
Well, gold mane would like signify a lion, and the rampart is a ram's head. So
it doesn't look like he's wearing the rampart on his back in the picture.
Well, I think the hammer is a lion, and I think the shield is a ram. That's the,
I mean
the
you
difference.
Are you are right,
but
you are right.
They do look very like. Similar for sure. And I think you probably like use that card, right?
Yeah.
You're going to use the shield as Victor.
Bailey, you have a cold foil shield, don't you?
I do.
Well, there you go. Get yourself a cold foil Miller's Grindstone.
So I've already been building some version of the deck. And I actually have two of the hammers main board right now.
Just dual wield those fuckers.
Why not?
For reasons that we'll get into when we read the hammer.
Yeah. Well, here, just go ahead and read the hammer, Bailey. Go ahead.
Sure. Okay, so it's a one-handed hammer. Comes in for 4 with a once per turn action. It does cost 3 to swing it. When this hits a hero, clash with them. If you win, destroy the top card of their deck. If they win, put a -1 counter on the hammer.
My first thoughts are this weapon has clash built into it, and Victor cares about clashing, right?
Yep.
So that kind of leads me to believe that Betsy will get the weapon that wagers.
That plays in the
wager. Because I was like thinking, like, without, like, with just cards from this set that clash or wager, like, with Betsy. And Victor, they kind of are limited to just like this set. And if we ever come back to like the arena, then maybe they'll get more cards. But the wager and the clash mechanics are strictly like for them, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking like after seeing this hammer that, well, of course that makes sense because then you're giving her kind of like, or you're giving him the ability to always have it no matter your hand. You can kind of, it frees up deck building, you know, a little bit. And same goes with Betsy's weapon, where I'm hoping that she gets a wager weapon where you don't necessarily have to rely on, like, always having the wager card, mm-hmm. where you just kind of have it built into her. Because, like, without those mechanics, the hero abilities do nothing, which feels weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this card is going to be fucking good, man. This is one of the better heroes I think they've released so far.
I would have to agree. I think just the fact that a guardian now gets to kind of work into the mill mechanic is absolutely amazing. It makes sense. And we've only seen one other weapon in the set so far, which is the Centauri Saber, which is a commoner token. Because Zach confirmed that, or told us that he knew that we're getting token weapons, right?
Well, he said the Miller's was a rare.
Are we going to get majestic weapons? Or do you think it's going to be like a Dusk Till Dawn situation where we only get up to rare?
That's a good question.
Legendary weapons?
They haven't done that yet. It'd be wild.
Waiting for the day that happens, low-key.
That'd be wild. I think going back to this grindstone, this hammer, though, Bailey, you were talking about dual wielding. And like, if you ever were to start getting minus one counters on one of them, and you have this other one to just start attacking with if you want to.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of the idea.
It's kind of like just an insurance policy.
Yep.
I'm still... I have a Rampart in the sideboard still to bring in for like those actual like true defensive matchups.
Yeah.
But I think between the D-Reacts and the armor blocks that Guardians can bring to the table, it kind of just frees you up to run two hammers just so that you can keep up with that game plan. Because... I mean, even getting one counter on it is kind of a feels bad.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Because you go from a break point or attack where they're having to commit multiple cards to it to all of a sudden all they need to do is one card from hand and hope you don't have like a pummel or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which are not always the easiest, but they can be fairly easy to read. I mean, are you swinging a vanilla hammer and holding up two cards in hand, or I wonder what that could be.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think creating a gold token to draw a card, or like the first time you create one and drawing a card, seems kind of busted. So like if there's effects that like have you create a gold and then like you lose your action or something for it, and then you like draw a card, it's kind of like a ponder almost, or it acts like a, you know, giving you that arsenal sometimes. And then like what if there's like ways to play like defensively where maybe you're trying to play the Rampart like you said, Bailey, and you have to pitch on your opponent's turn like an Oldham did, if there's defense reactions or defensive capabilities where you're blocking while creating a gold token on their turn and then you're replacing that card in hand, you know, like that. He seems like he can just, if they don't be careful with the gold production and stuff, he seems like he's going to be very strong.
Yeah, and I mean, there's the... What is the card that's coming out in this set?
Boast.
That was the new one we just got, I think, too.
Yep. Is that the one where if you don't control a gold token, you create one?
Mm-mm. No.
Let's go over his specialization before we read Boast, because Boast is just an all guardian.
Well, we were just talking about... Yeah, well, we were talking about blocks.
No, I know. Well, just go ahead. Just talk about Boast then.
So, there's the card Boast, Bailey. That's a Guardian block 3, blue pitch. And it's this gets plus X defense when defending, where X is twice the number of clashes you have won this turn.
Leads me to believe you'll be clashing on their turn somehow, you know.
Well, if you're playing into... I mean, it works great in limited for sure, because if you're playing into another Guardian and they get the hammer... And they're making you clash all the time. Yeah. That's them clashing with you on their turn, trying to clash. And then you win the clash.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then boom, block.
Yeah.
So you could be blocking for... And it's twice the number of clashes. So if you win two clashes in a turn, that's plus four block.
That's blue a block, seven block. For zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love these new blocks. Types or type cards. Playing Firewall in Teclo.
Bright Lights.
Yeah. Well, I have it in my Teclo deck.
It's good. It's just good.
Yeah. I love that design. You got to be careful. Don't ever arsenal a block card.
You can't.
If you ever do that, you have to have a way to get the card out of arsenal somehow.
I did it one time.
Crown of Providence.
Draft. It was terrible. It was horrible. I had a locked arsenal for like 3-4 turns and then I died. That's what caused me to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't we go over his specialization? Ty, you want to read that one?
Sure, because this I will start off by saying this is not a Cheyenne card. Just want to get that out there. every specialization.
You got to point it out. You
I look first out. To Cheyenne and then to the actual text. So it is a yellow pitch, 4-cost... Guardian action, attack action, sorry. called the Golden Sun. Victor specialization. As an additional cost to play this, you may destroy a gold you control. If you do, this gets plus three and overpower. It's a seven attack, three block, by the way. And then it says, when you win a clash, revealing this, create a gold token. So, yeah, this seems, this also seems pretty good.
You know, utility if it were to come up in a clash still, so it's not just like a completely dead card in that sense. And then obviously like a 10 overpower for four resources essentially is pretty good.
And that, yeah. Very easily pummelable as well.
Yep, being the four cost with the two blues.
Mm-hmm. So it could be in hand very easily to pull this off. I mean, even if you're, depending on if we get a new chest, I mean, if you're utilizing your seismics on turns, and this should be very easy to take advantage of. In the fact that you just get to play into the clash mechanic more. Sorry, that's all I was going to say, Bailey.
No, you're good. No, I'm hoping that we finally see either some like legendary gloves or boots.
For Guardian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we have is a legendary chest piece. That's all we get.
Oh, I'm sure that you guys will get, we'll definitely get a legendary piece. Yeah, for sure.
Don't get me wrong. Like, crater fists are good. But, I mean, nine times out of ten, I end up just using it for the block.
Because
paying another two resources on top of everything else you're doing just to give a crush card plus two doesn't line up very often.
You know, kind of looking at this card and like the Kasai specialization where you're making Centauri cell swords, if there's a good way for me to make gold as Shyana, maybe you could argue there's like reasons to play these cards. Well, but
still get to run.
I wonder. Wonder if I just like, because I play Crown of Providence, so like maybe I just play the Crown of Dominion. That gives me just right off the bat a gold to pay into.
Did you know that High Striker just gives you copper? So then, actually, yeah. So you can still run Blood on Her Hands and give your Talishar. Because High Striker gives you copper, and it's a generic. And if you hit during your turn, you just get four copper with the yellow, and I think three with the blue.
Interesting. You got me thinking now, Josh.
You could build a Shyana like Kasai.
Oh, it makes me like
go with raise an army because of the also starting stake. If you control no gold token, create a gold token.
Ah, yeah. So if we get more of that shit like that, there could be an argument where I can, you know, have all these gold tokens and make her just a gold deck. Oh, that would be fucking hilarious.
I mean, hey, it's worth a shot.
Still a pummel deck, right?
But yeah. It's worth a shot.
Ty's working on that gold digger Shyana now.
I'm scrolling past Show No Mercy. I did want to touch on that. I was wrong last week about how that card works. It is a static effect. So you were right, Josh, where if they block with that last card they have in hand with Show No Mercy, it gets the plus three and goes up to nine.
That's what I thought. It's so.
Oh yeah, Cliff, you wanted to hear about that before we were recording.
Yeah,
I wanted to save it. So this card is just even better than we thought, or than you thought, Cliff.
That puts it up a rung or two, but I still think the MVP for Reinar coming into heavy hitters is going to be the. Now we have the other one that does vigor instead of might. I think here. Let me get on February here and give some names rather than just talk out my ass here.
I will say I was playing some Reinar. I played a couple Reinars this week, and it was like the open format thing on Talishar where they're using all of these new cards, right? I was on Teclo, and the games were not close. I was getting smashed by Reinars. Oh, that's the card I wanted to talk about, actually.
So the one that I'm just going to go ahead, Ty, just to get going with it, it's the Mighty Windup. And it's like the agile windup, it has an instant to discard it to create an agility token, but instead it's a might token this time. Mm. So now we have two different cards that the reds are 7 and the yellow is 6 that Reiner can just go, hey, instant speed, I'm going to discard this to create a might. You have to, I'm intimidating you off of that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I got.
So I think that's a really good.
I forget really good what my opponent was using, but he was using one of the instant discard cards in his deck, and it just felt like I was so behind in that, in those games. I only played a handful of them. I've been playing a lot of Talishar this week, though. Just trying to like flesh out these two decks I'm working on, but it felt bad. Like new Reinar with it just was traditional claws, blood rushes, and then all these like new beat chest mechanic and just too much damage for me to even do anything about, man. Like even if you have your four card hand and you want to block with all four, they're just dealing more than like 12, like every turn.
Give us more generic power, not not talented heroes. Bring back some of these heroes. And I'm glad that you're saying this because now Reinar is actually, I feel like, going to be a force to be reckoned with, especially with Scowling Fleshbag.
Yeah, I think that's one of the better cards in Dusteldon.
And they'll probably get a chest.
Is that Dusteldon?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
We were kind of like low on Reinar being revealed.
What does it say about Dusk Till Dawn that the cards that we talk about as the power cards are all like expansion slot cards?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what expansion slot card should be. And Dusk Till Dawn was, you are talking about the power level, right, of like these heroes compared to Dusk Till Dawn?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think just they needed to, because even the Bright Lights meta, the only force that came was Dash for a little bit.
Hey, Teclo's coming.
Then she fell off. Teclo could be coming back since Icelander's gone out of the meta. That really hindered him. That was one of his worst matchups for sure. So I think these heroes are going to be much stronger just even by all their abilities. And even in the sealed aspect, I think this is going to be a very fun, very interesting sealed product.
Like all the limited formats.
Yes, the limited, all the draft sealed events are going to be
super fun. I can't wait. We have a pre-release coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sealed. So it's going to be deck building with new cards, having fun. I'm excited.
Do you guys want to get into a little bit about who we think? We have all six heroes now. So we can kind of look at them side by side, right, and compare them. Maybe we can just do it by class. We'll start with brutes. Which brute you think is going to come out better in heavy hitters, KO or Reinar?
I think KO.
He's got a lot of blue sixes now. He seems like the consistent choice.
A lot of good stuff going on that brutes want to do.
I just think even having the +1 in anywhere in your deck as his own, so just giving +1 to anything that you do for a wager or anything.
Or clashing. Yep.
Not wager,
but
clash.
It's going to make me very hesitant to clash with them as Victor.
Yeah. It'll make you think twice sometimes. But
Reinar, I would agree with that, though, I think.
Reinar still seems like he's going to be strong.
I think Reinar's going to be better in like limited. He might be one of the better picks in limited, honestly. Intimidate, like, historically has been really good form of evasion for limited. And, yeah, I think KO is probably going to be more consistent than Reinar, but I don't know. Not sure if he's going to be better. We'll see. I know that's not, like, a very good take. Let's have opinions. And then I'm like, I don't know.
Hey, this was your idea.
Well, okay, I know. Well, we got to fucking come up with something this week. And we just have all six heroes revealed now, so... It's a good talker. Cliff, what do you think? Brute's your class.
I don't know, man. There's so much to look into for KO and Reinar, both from the cards we've gotten released prior to this, and now we're getting all these new fun toys in this next set. I think there's going to be a pretty heavy buffer period while everyone kind of figures out how they want to run. Because there's two big deck ideas, I think, when it's coming to Brutes right now. One is you just want to do the full-on Intimidate, get the hand out, and then you come in for decently heavy damage. And then the other one is you want to try to just get the go-again attacks, and you want to screw with their ability to equipment block and just kind of make a nuisance of yourself. Of the two, I think the Intimidate game plans are going to be the high caliber and the ones we're going to see at the events.
Yeah, I think could be on something there. I think Intimidate's just coming back with a vengeance, man.
It's a... I love intimidating people when I'm on Reinar, but when I'm playing against the Reinar and I get intimidated, I'm just like, you son of a bitch.
I know, it kind
of
sucks.
It's just the fact that they really made it just more viable with the beat chest and just not being so inconsistent is just huge for Reinar and definitely
beat
a big
chest
level up.
Is a card that we needed because it's replacing Primeval Bellow, which gives the +5, but as an additional cost, you have to randomly discard. This is giving you the option to discard a card of your choice to get that +5,
but
or just have the +3.
It's not an attack. It's a mechanic, Cliff. The fact that you don't... Yeah. Well, why'd you say
it's
attack?
It's a non-attack action that has the mechanic beat chest on. There's whatever buff has that beat chest
bone
on.
Bone Breaker Bellow.
He's talking about an old one. He's talking about the old buff, I think.
Yeah, I'm talking about the old Primeval Bellow. And how it's a good thing that we're getting this new non-attack action to replace it. Because Primeval Bellow is an extremely good buff if it lines up right. 9 times out of 10, though, it has a nasty habit of taking the card you want to play.
9 times out of 10? That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Played a lot of Rhino.
Look, man, I'm just doing some statistical analysis for how these cards get played.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, what about you? What do you think, Josh? What do you think about the Brutes?
I'm gonna have to agree with Bailey here with the KO. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. I think it's really cool that he just gets +1 anywhere, and that's especially in limited. Going to be super nice. Mm-hmm. And even at the beginning of metas, everybody loves playing the new heroes. So you're going to see a lot of them. And if these heroes' power level are raised a little bit, I just think KO is a little bit stronger than Reinar.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems... he seems just, you know, altogether the better choice, I think. Reinar probably has a higher ceiling, though. It's kind of what it feels like.
Absolutely. Like, that's... I think Reinar will still be the more consistent of the two.
Oh, really? Okay.
But, I don't know.
They did make it more consistent. They both are now. I just... Yeah, that blue... Yeah. Turning all your blue fives into blue sixes for you know, KO seems wild to me. I'm not even a Brute player, and that seems kind of crazy.
Do you think we're gonna...
Reinar still just brings that, like, heavy, like, hand disruption.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the instant speed discards, it's more of, like, that scowling fleshbag effect where you can disrupt on your opponent's turn and, like...
Your intimidate doesn't trigger on their turn though, Bailey. You know, it's only your action phase, I think, is the way that works. So even if you like instant discarded on their turn, you wouldn't intimidate them. That would be insane.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Intimidate is only on your action phase.
No.
I haven't read Reinar very closely. That's dabbled with him like when I was first getting into the game and really have not looked at him since. So, speculating about what Olympia's weapon could be, and I really want to see like a spear for warriors. Like that'd cool.
That'd be really awesome.
I think that's good flavor for him.
Like Josh was saying, like he's got some pretty big swords in the art on one of the cards, and that's probably what we'll get. But
and then I said I wanted to point out the fact that he's gonna get a giant sword. Thing's going to be huge, and that just goes to show why Dawnblade shouldn't be a two-handed weapon. It should be one-handed.
No.
A little fencing sword.
But you may only have one. You can't dual-wield. You may only have one, but she gets the shield. That would up Dory so much, it's not even funny.
It'd be cool to have, like, a sword and board warrior, like, old WoW style, where you got your
shield
fat shield
sword.
And just a little one-handed.
I mean,
well,
you could, technically, with axes.
Be that hero. I think Olympia
we have the Bastion of Unity.
I think the Bastion would be a great card in Olympia. Not gonna lie.
I hope I hope they kind of give us the actual Gladiator feel with him and have him be kind of like a weapon specialist.
Well, I'm sorry, Ty, did we get your KO or Reinar opinion?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, I thought KO was probably going to be a little more consistent. It's hard to know without there being like all the cards revealed yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we can move on to Guardians.
Do we want to do Kasai and Olympia?
Yeah. Let's do Warriors then. We're kind of already talking about Olympia.
Josh, you want to kick that one off? Or can I use
sure, it? Yeah. You know, being a Kasai main, it's really hard to not say Kasai. But Olympia looks so cool and looks so much fun. And I love his specialization alone in itself that it has X and Y. The first card to have Y on it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, what does his specialization do again?
His specialization is an attack reaction. Pay X, it's a blue pitch, block 3, and it's choose X plus 1, and that's target weapon, target attack wagers an agility token with the defending hero, target attack wagers a gold token with the defending hero, target attack wagers a vigor token, target attack gets plus Y damage, where Y is the number of times it has wagered.
This is how I make gold in Cheyenne. Right.
So you pay a blue into it, and it's you get all of that if you hit.
And it gets plus 4.
Yeah.
It's that'll a plus be interesting. 4,
which is insane.
This is how I make gold in Cheyenne.
Because if you wager beforehand, before you attack, and then you use this.
No, you just do this in the reaction step.
Well, yeah, I know, but...
The wager is just like hitting, the
attack,
right?
Target attack gets plus Y, where Y is the number of times it's wagered. That's not, it's not a wager in itself.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Well, you wager 3 times with this. So, it only gets a plus 3, plus 3, actually, not 4.
No, but if you wager on the attack beforehand, you know, then you can get the plus 4.
Do they get the agility gold and whatever if it's blocked out then? If they like sink below it afterwards?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Hence the actual meaning of wager.
Yep. Well, I mean, you think about it too. If he's really working into a, you know, true warrior with like a weapon and everything, you got the cards like Iron Song Determination, then give a weapon plus 1 and dominate. So, I mean, you throw that, and then if they don't have the sync below an arsenal, you can work it out if you catch them without an arsenal, you know?
I think I'm still going to play this in Cheyenne, to be honest.
It just seems good because it's an attack too. It's not.
Yeah, you specified can target
a weapon
anything.
Or.
Yep. The problem is it's like going to be hard to play it. Like there'll be hands though with her. Not to go on a fucking tangent again, but you draw up off a tome with a go again, and you have a bunch of bullshit. You can't really use your full hands.
Yep.
And with this, you know.
Well, sorry, I just went on a tangent comparing them, but I'm going to go with Kasai. So. That's my pick for the stronger warrior. How about you, fellas? What do you guys think?
I think Olympia has like the most generic feeling right now, and we just need to wait to see with him. I'm hoping he's good. I love his aesthetic. I mean, Kasai is clearly going to be better right now, I think, though.
Mm-hmm.
We already know how good she was in Blitz. Almost said is, but was in Blitz.
And the fact that she still gets blood on her hands and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Imagine that in a CC game when, like, you have a million copper.
A full grip.
Well, you can just, like...
copper.
Well, does it get ramped up the amount of copper you spend into it?
It caps it at 6. Okay. But even then, that's still a lot in itself. And if you catch them on an off turn where you get the, like, let's say you nourishing. I've done it. 5-card hand. They couldn't do anything. And I just took damage because I had more life, and then I had a full grip of 5 card in my hand with arsenal blood in her hands. Mm-hmm. So, and
insane.
That's free. So you have a full grip, ready to go, and you're just dumping out like 20 damage with just swords in a turn. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Oath of Steel is an absolute house of a card with blood on her hands. Because it's every time you swing a weapon, it gets plus one.
Oh, the counter for the turn, and then you just lose them? Yeah.
Yes. And blood on her hands gives you go again for the whole turn. The entire turn. So if you have a Twinning Blade, you get to swing it three times. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
What, you get them up to like five usually or whatever?
Yeah, five or six typically, most of the time. Pretty wild. But, you know, the fact that she also gets to create allies too.
She really feels like the go nuts warrior, you know.
It's a combo, I feel like.
Dual wield, fucking slash and dash. I feel like it's a combo deck wild almost. In a fight.
What you think?
Yeah.
Combo wombo?
I think so. Not so much as like Bolton, maybe.
No.
Like that weird combo with Lumina.
True.
That relies on
some cards. Yeah, no, I think Bolton will remain the king of combo warriors.
You don't play combo Bolton, do you, Bailey?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to bring that this weekend.
You can't.
Why?
Centauri Sabers are technically gone right now.
Not in CC.
Yeah, they're just not in
CC. You can play them in CC.
Well,
no, you can play them. They're not banned.
They're Kasai's.
Yeah, Kasai went out in Blitz. She's not a CC hero.
I guess.
Yeah.
I thought they were just gone.
No, that's only Blitz. Bailey.
Oh my god. I've been trying to make it work with Raiden somehow.
No, this you can play game. You can play Sabers. They're not banned in CC.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, well, that is the best.
Well,
you can catch us every week here at Big Deck Energy.
Very stupid right now.
coming in with the hot deck list.
At least I wasn't the one playing the deck, but that's just what I thought.
Mm-mm.
That they're just gonna, because no, it's her signature weapon.
Yeah, but she's not. There's not a Kasai hero in CC, so therefore it can't be banned without the banning of that hero.
You like, sure?
100% Bolton plays Centauri Sabers. Yes. I just like played it.
No, Ty is right.
I just played against one like last weekend or something. And he actually killed my Teclo with the stupid combo. The Lumina and fucking Go Boomina. All that bullshit.
Oh.
Yeah, bro. Oh.
No, the combo is great.
The signature weapon, the only thing that means is when the hero gets banned, the weapon just goes with it. That's it. And because Kasai is just not a CC hero, like,
it's just
there. Now when the adult Kasai will get, you know, LL'd, they'll go with her. And well, then Bolton will be sad.
Well, so you said Kasai.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Bailey, did you say who you thought?
Oh, absolutely Kasai. Like, I understand that I'm coming from a very biased place, also being in the same position that you're in, Josh, but... I think it's got to be Kasai.
Yeah.
She's just so strong.
And you and I have both played her for quite some time, too. So we both know the power level of her.
And, I mean, it's not the same Kasai that we're used to. So. Nope.
I mean, you're not generating that copper on your turn, but you do get to try to get the gold tokens with her once per turn action. So.
Yeah, so...
They have plenty of cards to utilize copper, I think. I think we're okay. I don't think she's gonna
I still
be
hope
slowed
we get
down.
like a currency card that, you know, lets you
ATM.
Pay them in and exchange them for higher bills.
Come on, Rudy. If that's the last one you're giving us, come on, give us the ATM.
No, we're gonna get one more piece from him, he said.
Well, Cliff, did you give your warrior?
Not yet, but I'm pretty much on the same boat as you guys, just reading the cards and knowing how Kasai likes to operate. I think the new Kasai has definitely got a leg up on Olympia. Olympia, like, his design is so cool and everything, but his hero ability just seems so weak compared to everyone else in this set.
Yeah, not a lot there, you know? Not a lot of meat on the bone.
Mm-mm.
I think it needs some build around, you know?
We just got to see more cards. See if he gets any.
I would love to try out a warrior and have it the first time I do it be him. Like, that's such like a.
Dory is pretty fun.
I don't know that. You can push like 9 damage a turn. That's like about it. Unless your opponent messes up. If your opponent's blocking you correctly, it's just like, isn't it just kind of like miserable?
If I can do some sneaky stuff on like a Glistening Steel Blade turn and get my weapon up to 3
Iron
counters and
Glistening.
Yeah, and get it up to 3 in one turn.
Sometimes they just
that's 6
say,
and then it's buffed up to 15.
You act like Glistening
I've never like sit down against Dory and I'm like worried about it. You know? I don't feel like
I fucking hate true. Dory.
True.
I do my best.
Well, you're talking about in Blitz, though, right, Cliff? Because in Blitz, it's a different animal. In Blitz, I actually am scared of Dory.
In Blitz, she's really good.
I'm surprised you
don't
play
like
more
Dory
in Blitz.
CC either. I don't like Dory in CC either. I just do not like Dory.
Most times, you just ignore everything she does, and you just win. They'll naked Dawnblade, you just no block, all the reprises turned off.
At our last PTQ, I did that. Then the guy had a Dawnblade that had 8 counters on it, and I'm like, well, I'm fucked.
Holy shit.
Back-to-back Glistening turns.
Yeah. You have to. And it's nice if you...
He got the first one, and I'm like, okay, I'm set to throw like 35. Like, all he has to do is have a kind of a whiff turn, and then he drops the second Glistening, and I'm like, well... That's all she wrote.
imagine if they could actually like utilize hand disruption. If they could actually get like discard a card if it hits or something, then how scary would it be?
No, that's no.
Yeah, I don't know if you can give her like crazy on hits like that.
Why not?
You can't.
I don't know.
You can't.
Her shtick is the reaction phase. You never know if you're gonna get hit or not or whatever with her.
Like, yes.
Whereas other heroes Ranger, all on hits. Everything's face up on hits. Yeah. There's not much reaction going on.
I mean, most of her actual on hits are face up.
Yeah, I suppose. But I'm saying, like, the on hits are never, like, disruption, right? They're, like, card advantage for you most times, or you're pumping your blade. You're not, like, disrupting their hand or, you know, affecting their next turn much.
There's only one. That's route. And that's affecting blocking. That's it.
Yeah. But again, that's like not even a non-hit.
Exactly.
if you give her like a discard on hit, and everyone wants a discard on hit, you know, everyone wants that because like they get it.
Why not?
To them so much.
Why like, not?
But I don't know. Good. Some heroes can't have it. I don't know if you could give Dory that.
Makes sense though.
How did we start talking about Dory? What happened?
Because we were talking about power level. I do say. I don't know. I don't think Dory will even be like raised up that much with this set.
Oh, I'm sure she will. We have to wait to see. She'll get armor and shit now and just wait, dude. Dory will be fine.
It does say
it's a warrior set.
Your next warrior attack this turn gets +3 and when this attacks a hero you may wager. So you could even have Dory going into the wager mechanic,
which I mean you could pretty much make things hit if you want, because a lot of times when they don't want you to hit, they're forced to block, and now it's game on. You have reprises on, it's everything you want, right? Like,
and that might token is going to be huge, mm-hmm. giving your sword +1. Or even the vigor or agility.
Yeah.
Go again. Be very
nice.
She's going to
get
very nice.
She's going to get some pieces. I wouldn't worry about it. Let's move on to Guardians, though. We have Victor, the new one. He gives me mad Jamie Lannister vibes. Doesn't
he does.
He? Just like
he does.
Rich boy.
Brevin's
raising
cousin.
Castle.
No, dude, that's the deck that I'm putting together on February right now. It's just titled Prince Charming.
Yeah. I think like in terms of abilities, he's got the best one or the one that's doing the most, it looks like. I think maybe though, like this Miller's Grindstone will have to be like you have to pick it. It has to be one of the rares in the pack. So I don't know if this is the weapon he gets. Right, he'll get a different token weapon, I'm sure, in sealed formats, in draft.
Yeah.
Which makes me think like Betsy's probably better in limited, with the overpower. But I think Victor's gonna be a house in CC. I really do.
I agree.
I love that they're giving us heroes all that seem like pushed a little bit in power level, you know, but they did it with like good design, I think. Because we were in a big lull of like going back to the roots, and kind of after Tails, it was like every set seemed underpowered, you know.
It did.
This is the first time where all heroes are like, damn, this, well, maybe except for Olympia, but once we see the cards, I'm sure he'll be fine.
Kind of down on this.
Who does?
Cliff.
Same.
What's weird?
What?
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It seems like you thought that the heroes are just kind of like,
there's a,
I think the Reinar spoiler really is what Olympia. bummed Cliff out the most, because like we didn't get like an KO's never really spoke to Cliff, and then they just gave Reinar just actual Reinar. It's like another slap in the face, like Classic Battles was kind of.
Yeah, I'm a little bit upset that instead of just giving Reinar some card support, they just reprinted him. That feels lazy, like a cop. I could go all day about that.
Yeah.
It's that one in Olympia.
What if Cliff? What if they give us? What if they give us a demi hero for Reinar, and they make him just go fucking rampage?
Why the fuck would he have a demi hero?
Just
he
let him transform.
Goes frenzy mode and just
goes berserk.
Beast mode.
Good God! Could you imagine if Reinar?
Well, they gave the other brute one. Thematically,
instead of attacking, it had overpower, attack, intimidate.
Yeah. Okay.
Just roll a stabbies every turn to get a couple action points. And
get action points. Get action points equal to the number rolled.
That would be Jesus.
That'd be wild.
But I'm all about.
Maybe there's just still some spice to come, Cliff. Maybe Reinar will get like the total package. We just don't know yet, so we gotta hold out some hope.
Even if he gets the total package, I'm still not happy with it.
Yeah,
I'd much rather would have seen a new hero.
Yep.
Well, what Guardians?
Even coming from a Reinar player.
What Guardians do you guys think are going to be better?
I kind of said my piece. I think Betsy will be better in limited.
Cliff started to say, I like the Guardians.
Yes, I do. I do really like the Guardians in this set.
Yeah, you've kind of fucked around with Guardians before too, haven't you?
Yeah, except it was on this weird old him knockoff Valda with the Earth Lore bounty using all the Earth cards that draw stuff.
Of course it was.
It was a lot of fun, not going to lie.
I remember that deck. It looked interesting.
I think the funnest I ever did was I did like a Tome of Harvest and was able to throw like a red Macho Grande and pummel it with Earth Lore Surge on it. So it was like, what's red? 15 with the plus 5 and then pummel on top of that?
Yeah. 19 Dom. Yeah. And that was Blitz too, wasn't it?
Yep.
Hey, you know what can do that with fewer cards involved?
I don't know about fewer. I think the
amount
of that one. But no, coming back to the Guardians of this set, I think Victor's probably going to be cash money. He's going to be the better one. But I'm all about Betsy, man.
Betsy, yeah, I had a feeling awesome. You were going to say Betsy.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to build her. She's going to be kind of a fun deck, I think.
Bailey, what about you?
Betsy has me interested. She seems very similar to Bravo, but I said it before, I'll say it again, like that plus one could be like a world of difference on what she's doing, especially with giving it overpower. Like, it, I don't know, it just introduces a lot of break points to the Guardian cards that might not have had one, but Victor has me intrigued. I don't know. This one's hard for me. If I had to just come out and say one, I think it'll probably be Victor, but I think they're both going to be good.
Yeah, I think they're both going to be good as well. Imagine them clashing. Good Guardians general, clashing.
To be honest, I think.
Yeah, they're just Guardians have always historically been good.
Yeah, just a viable option. I know some people hate on Bravo and say he's not good, but he's actually, I mean, he's decent. You can utilize him in his ability quite well if you go aggro and do the zealous beltings and rouses on a dominated turn if you can. It's wonderful. Fantastic. But, is there any other things that you guys wanted to conclude on? Any of these heroes? Anything you want to bring up?
No, nothing really. I mean, we have, like, I mean, I've said it a few times. Now's the time to go check it out and see if you want to, like, get into the set. We have all the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
If something doesn't speak to you, you're not going to, you know, want to get into it. I love that we have six different heroes, though, and I'm really excited for the sealed formats and the drafts. The Outsiders was amazing. I remember really enjoying that limited format.
Agreed.
So if you love limited, this looks like a very good set.
And even the expansion slot cards all seem
good. Oh, right. We still have some that come out or that haven't come out yet. So
I think we still have.
Yeah,
Azalea
so
gets her arrow.
Three more.
So hyped for the new arrow.
Maybe that expansion slot is like, just like really going to solve some of the growing pains, you know, over the years with appealing to every player, you know.
True.
If every player's still getting new pieces every set. Well, hey, like, that's actually interesting. Like, they did it in an interesting way. They'll probably have to adjust the number of expansion slots and stuff every time. But, yeah, could be the answer to it. All right. So we have a couple questions this week. Dylan asks, if they made a new Stubby Hammers, except they made it with power two or less, do you think it would be too broken where Stubbies is three or less? The short answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
Stubbies was always inherently broken. You could do one or less, it would still probably be busted.
Well, the issue with Stubbies is that it doesn't really matter what you set the max cost for it to, because it's not the big decks with the high-cost cards that want Stubbies.
Yep.
It's the decks that throw one or free cost attacks.
And Fi and stuff.
Yep. So Stubbies just by itself is inherently a mistake for a card, let's be honest.
I would argue even Mech, like, would want that.
Oh, dude, if Mech had a Stubbies, yeah.
I mean, you'd just run Stubbies, Cliff, over any of the Mech arms.
Not for my Max list. For Max, I still like the Galvanics.
Well, yeah, for your Construct.
Construct.
Yep. But, I mean, like, Dash, you know?
It's good in a lot of decks.
I mean, you're right.
Dylan just loves Stubbies. You know?
I know.
He's always been a huge fan of Stubbies.
Got his cold.
You open up his binder and it's just like pages of Stubbies. You ever seen that?
Yes. All Stubbs.
That's the best.
It's amazing.
But yeah, I think the answer to that is probably no, Dylan. It's still strong. Or yeah, I'm sorry, yes? No? I don't. It's too strong.
Yeah,
it's still too strong.
Yeah.
Then we have Sean asked, if you had a day to train with a hero and then fight their rival student, who would it be and why? Wow. It's an interesting question, Sean.
Say that again?
If you had to train with a hero and then fight their rival student, who would it be and why? I don't know if we have many rival students quite yet in the game. But mine would have to be... I mean, it would have to be probably Starvo, honestly. That guy just seems like a good time. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He'd teach you some shit,
okay,
too.
To train?
All three elements? All three elements, too? All three elements?
I'm training under. I'm training under fucking Katsu. He's going to teach me some fucking Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon shit.
Pun intended.
Bailey's going to be out here throwing the Kamehameha!
Coming out of nowhere with
Sean made the assumption of, like, for me, Dory. I said, yeah. But honestly, Fi seems kind of dope, being able to deal with fire and just be a badass ninja.
Oh, dude, yeah, no, training under Zuko would be cool as fuck too.
You guys see the new show coming out? It's gonna be wild. But
alright, I do gotta go, boys.
Yeah, we're about to get out of here too, Bailey. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks
this week.
For joining, Bailey.
Have a good one.
Have a good day at work, buddy.
Sorry to cut myself short, but Work.
Of course.
Work. Fucking A. All right, have a good one, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure this week. We'll be back next week. Should be for the full episode. I don't know if I'll be... yeah, I'll probably be recording up in Duluth, though.
Oh, cool. So, you and Cliff can...
Yeah.
Hold hands or whatever.
No. Anyways. We'll see you guys next week.
Later, buddy.
See you, Bailey.
Peace.
Sean is always coming in with some funny questions. This is kind of a, I don't know.
A goof. This is a goof one.
He's a goofball.
Also, Ty, for your Strava answer, do you want to train under Strava or do you want to fight Strava?
Train.
Oh, you train. No, he's the one I'm training to fight shit. Who are you fighting? We don't really know rivals, I suppose. So it's kind of like a tough question.
It'd probably just be another Guardian. So you'd probably be throwing hands with, like, Betsy, Victor, or Valda.
Oh, dude, I'm fucked then. Oh, no, I'm toast.
Unloading? Well, I don't know. I mean, he grew up in Everfest and the Carnival.
I'm down with some carny life, dude.
I don't think any of those other Guardians really... I mean, Old Him might be the only other one, but I don't think even Old Him and... Starvel meet in any of the lore?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, they do. They have to. They're like Tales of Arya people, right? Aren't they? They're fighting in the last
you're
unity.
You're right.
What's the card? God damn
it. I'm an idiot. Du bist ein Idiot. But, I mean, who wants to go first for Sean's question?
Oh, well, he asked this question.
It's silly.
It is. It's yeah.
What's your favorite Sean moment?
It's funny because he
womping his bitch ass with my fucking Reinhardt deck for like 10 games straight.
Well, this is a funny question because Sean is always quick to like be self-deprecating, you know, for just but like in a funny way. And he's always like down for the bit. You know, he brings crazy decks. He brings cards like Blue Ravenous, you know.
He's for it.
I mean, you guys heard Sean. We brought Sean on as our first guest because it just, we're kind of a goofball podcast. We thought, hey, let's bring this other goofball on with us. And but there are some really funny memories we always kind of bring up with him. And just over the years, one time we were playing in a Magic draft. This was early on in the Dinosaur set. Early Ixalan. Or something like that. Rivals, maybe. Whichever set had the Gigantosaurus in it. And this man drafted a green and red deck. And he put 5 green mana in his deck. And had one green card. And the green card was the Gigantosaurus. The Gigantosaurus cost 5 green mana. Not 4 and 4 colorless and 1 green. It was 5 green mana, and he put 5 green mana in his deck. No land grabs, nothing to filter lands or go grab more lands or make lands. And we're all just ripping him the whole day for it. And he's telling us, no, you watch, he's going to do it. And then in the finals, he ended up somehow winning, I think, that day. And in the finals, he played his 5th green mana, and we all were hovered around the table, and he plays the stupid dinosaur, somehow gave it haste and swung in for like 12 plus and won the game. And off of this stupid crazy like
reach.
It just kind of enabled his bad behavior, you know. Just like seeing him win with it was like, yes, but no, that should have never happened, you know.
I love it. No, I will never forget my first, like, true flesh and blood opponent that I've ever played.
Was it John?
Yep.
Oh, nice. At Legends, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we all kind of built our deck, and that's when
you guys went to high school together, so, like, it was probably, like, weird for you to be like, oh, my God, like...
I was Sean Sr., bro. Yeah. Because he was the underclassman, so I was, like, his helper. So it was really cool that I got to walk in, and you were playing a game against somebody, and I was just like, yep. I mean, we've gotten over this, but I just looked at Sean, and I was like... You playing? And he's like, yeah, sit down. And he just like scoots over a chair, slaps his deck down. He goes, you're fucked.
First thing. Very nice, Sean, to the new players.
Well, I know Sean so well. And right, Sean and I fuck with each other all the time. And then the ironic thing about it was I 20-0'd him.
That sounds about right, honestly.
And Sean goes, well, you're good.
Sean will, like, spike some tournaments and win sometimes. But yeah, a lot of times he'll just, like, 1-2, 2-2, 0-3, 0-4, and just still have a great time.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, that type of, you know, cards are kind of secondary.
If he's not doing well, he will make sure that you're trying to do well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's always there rooting us on. That's our whole squad.
Everybody's have that
really good. So I'm glad that we have him in the squad. I will say he is our, what, in quotes, the hype man in our group.
I would say that's probably correct, yeah.
In all technicality, but was there any other questions, boys?
No, I don't think so. I think that was it, just a couple goofy ones.
Any other last conclusions on these cards that were spoiled?
I don't think so. I'm excited now, you know, looks cool, everything. The Reinhardt thing is whatever. Maybe they give us the demi hero Clifford. Maybe they give us some more pieces to him that really make
if there's the a demi hero excited. For Reinhardt, I'm gonna be very mad at LSS.
Oh, you think so? You won't be happy, huh?
I won't be happy.
There's one conclusion I wanted to make on all the heroes.
What?
That Zach confirmed with us yesterday.
What's
that? I completely forgot. All the heroes are gonna be Marvel in the set and can be pulled.
Oh, right. They have those full art next to the pictures when they... Mm-hmm. Ouch to the wallet there.
Not me ripping packs with Wild Abandon to get a Marvel Betsy.
You know, I actually kind of like that. If this is the way they start to do the adult heroes and stuff,
I like it. It
makes it more accessible to somebody that's a casual player and doesn't go to these big events to get them. And doesn't
it's also
like
bringing the collectability back into it, man.
It is.
I've got a theory about the Marvel heroes. I've got a theory.
What's your theory?
And it's because of the Black Labeled History set that Europe got that they had the Cold Foil heroes in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they received a lot of backlash from people stateside and other countries that didn't have the black labels, because everyone's like, yo, we want those. Why? Is,
yeah.
You know, they are the only expensive. Ones that get them.
They are expensive.
That too. Is true. And like the whole idea of locking some of these adult heroes behind the judge packs is kind of weird. Like the Tech Lavasin, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like your premier guy of that set, sort
Vincent
of.
Vincent before,
yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. If this is the way they're going to do it moving forward, I would love that. I mean, I'm a set completionist, so it sucks, like, on the one hand, you know, trying to complete a set that has, like with Dynasty, like, three different cold foils. You had the normal, the extended, the...
The Marvel and the Cold Foil,
yeah,
and then
like
the
some of the legendaries had three different versions and stuff, and it was just
that's too much.
Try to complete that set. But if this is something that they're going to do normally, I would think it's an amazing idea to have some more just value. I mean, the cards are going to come out and be worth some money for sure.
Well, you think about it too, like, there's nothing really in this set that could be like Marvel.
Maybe they're just all the Marvels. Marvels, all six.
I could potentially a Centauri Sellsword potentially being a Marvel, like an Aether Ashwing Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So that one could be
full art cold foils or something.
Yeah. So those potentially could be one, but I don't think anything else. But I will say I'm also excited about the like UPF aspect of this.
Yep. We'll have to figure out exactly the format. That was, because I would love to do that at the shop.
Seems very fun. And then do a draft afterwards for the top, and you just...
No. I think you just play the deck that you... So, like, you...
Two pods, right?
Yeah, you draft. I think this is draft, right?
It's all draft,
so
right?
So you draft, and then you do games of four, and then the winners play one-on-one or something.
That's right.
This is how it goes.
That's right. It'd still be sick. Still be super
cool. A lot of times we have 8 to 10, 12 players at our shops, you know, every weekend. So we'll have enough to do the two pods.
Yeah.
Maybe three pods even.
Yeah. All right. Well, shall we get on out of here, boys?
We've been trying to for a while now.
The old Minnesotan goodbyes. We're the best at them. But thank you, listeners, for tuning in, listening to episode 23 of BDE. Lot to unload here with some of the spoilers. Next week we'll probably get some more spoilers. It's kind of spoiler season coming up into the new set here of heavy hitters. But thank you as always. Join us in the Discord. The link is in the show notes. And then you can email us at bigdeckenergycast@gmail.com. But as we like to always say, signing off. Peace.
See ya.
As always, it's a pleasure.